Glory. Hallelujah. I know about you, but I'm glad to be saved. Well, some of you are. Glory. It's been a good week. I appreciate God being with us and meeting with us. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Bless you, Lord.
I had lots happen this year. Amen. Brother Donnie, I got AIDS. Amen. I got one each year. Amen. I can hear now if you look at me. Amen. But God's been good. He's given me a measure of my heart back physically. Amen. And this week he's given me a measure of my heart back spiritually. Amen.
Amen.
Man, when I got saved almost 40 years ago around there somewhere, you know, I just got in. I didn't have any better sense. I knew that the life I was living did not match up. And I knew it wasn't the way to go. Amen. You know, I'd go down them dark alleys and there'd be somebody down there waiting on me. Now I stay out of dark alleys. Amen. Unless God sends me down there to talk to somebody about Him.
That's it.
Amen. And I'm thankful, amen, for the life that He's given me. And I'm thankful most of all this morning for the blessed hope.
Yes, amen.
This isn't it. Young people, get a hold of it now. This is not it.
Nope.
This is just a short thing you're passing through to get into the real deal.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
There in 1 Corinthians 15, I was meditating this morning on this, and then Brother Tim was quoting this, and I'm in 2 Corinthians. I went one too far. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 51. We'll start there. It's a great chapter. Behold, I show you a mystery.
Oh, yes. It,
we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You're not going to be like you are much longer.
Amen.
Amen. You are going to be, if you're saved in here this morning, you are going to be changed.
Amen.
Amen. Whether you like it or not, and I'm going to tell you something, if you're saved, you'll like it.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, if you're really saved, you'll be looking for it.
That's right.
Amen. I still, after around 40 years, whatever, I'll go outside, I'll look up, I'll see the clouds. Amen. I said, Lord, it's a good day for it. Amen. Why? Said He'd come with clouds. Amen.
Yeah.
I hate good day for it. Hey, any day's a great day for it. Amen. But we're going to be changed. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet might sound if somebody... No. I like this King James Bible, man. It is definitive.
Yes,
you look up that word shall, that's what it means. Definitive. In other words, it is gonna happen just like God said it would.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. No doubt about it. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's a lot of shalling.
Yes.
For this corruptible, this thing right here, amen.
Oh, yes.
Now, we've been in this building here all week, amen, about 9 o'clock tonight, 10 o'clock tonight. You stick around long enough, and you're going to know what corruptible is, amen. Brother Tim said, just do this, amen. Amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, amen, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brother Donnie, would you pray for us, please, sir?
Lord, thank you for what you've already done this morning. Thank you for the liberty and the joy between each other. Thank you for our wives, Lord. I pray you to be in my family today. I touched my wife today in this hour when the daughter's not going to be there. I pray that you'd be with them. Bless today. Help these young people here. Touch the preacher and anoint him with power. That every one of them that's sitting here today, just thank God they're sitting here, knowing the Lord. Still out there lost without God, not knowing you. Bless your name. Help him now. Get in liberty. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I was reading this morning. I was looking back in the Psalms, and I ran across that word steadfast. And immediately my mind went to this verse right here. Verse 58, steadfast. You know what's happening today? Brother, what happened to steadfastness?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's been in the
past. What happened to steadfastness? Where are the steadfast? Why aren't they steadfast? A question. If you're not steadfast, why are you not steadfast? I mean, man, you have the greatest thing in all of history to look forward to. Amen. Oh, you don't know my life. It's so man, get up, man. Rise up. You say, man, quit looking around at circumstances. Look at the God, amen, that's in charge of it all. And look at the promise, amen. Hey, listen, man, you go through that Old Testament and you'll see it over and over and over and over and over and over again where God gave the Israelites a promise. He's coming, amen, and they're going to get resurrected as a nation, amen, and they are going to rule this thing, amen, and all the ragheads, the towel heads, and the tabletop heads, and everybody else is going to have to smile, grin, and bear it. Israel's going to be in charge. You know what that Jew's looking for today? He's looking for that kingdom where his king sits on the throne. Hey, brother, we're going to a land, amen. We're going to a place, amen, that's so beautiful, you can't even describe it. Some have tried. But, amen, you know why you can't describe it? Because you ain't been there. Hard to describe something you ain't seen. Whoa, now, wait a minute. I know everybody thinks about over there in 1 Corinthians 9, I have not seen neither heard neither hath entered in the heart of man, the things which God have prepared for them that love him. But they are revealed unto us by His Spirit. You want to get a little glimpse of heaven?
That's right.
Get in that book.
Hallelujah.
Just start reading about it. Amen. Say, you going to preach on heaven? No. Deal with that word steadfast. Why are folks not steadfast? Take your Bible, go back to Psalms. Let me see. Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 8. Let's back up to verse 6. Psalm 78, verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You know one of the most precious things? It's when your children only know you as a saved person. When I got married, I was lost as a goose in a blizzard, man, flying upside down and backwards in a snowstorm. I got saved about, I can't remember how many years we've been married. Long time. She's trying to mouth the word to me, but I can't even hear her, let alone read her lips. Amen. But I got saved several years after we was married. We had a daughter at that time. That daughter's on the mission field today.
Amen.
And then we had another little daughter, a little redheaded gal. Her daughter's sitting back there. And she just a little bit of a thing when I got saved. I asked my girl, I said, the other one didn't even come along until after I saved. And all she's ever known is life in church. You know, we practice drugs in our church. We drug her to church, amen. Now she's in church dragging her kids to church, amen. But I asked them one time, I was sitting there, just having some family time, and I asked them, I said, I looked at the youngest, I said, I know you don't remember Daddy as a lost man. So I asked the redhead, I said, do you remember anything? She said, no, I was too young, Daddy. I looked at the oldest. And I said, honey, do you remember anything your daddy before he got saved? She said, Daddy, it's all a vague said, I really can't remember it too clearly. She said, all I know of my daddy is that he's a preacher. Boy, what a wonderful heritage, amen. And the psalmist here says that the generation to come, I'm looking at the generation that was to come and the next generation that was to come. Crying out loud, man, I'm old enough, I'm a great-grandfather now. And the next generation. Listen, there's a generation coming. Now, this is more than about you, young people. There's somebody else coming. Somebody is looking to you. If not now, they will soon be. Well, Donnie, I was in a meeting, I can't remember where, Tennessee, I think. And there's young boys sitting on the front row. And I went over to a teenager. I guessed him to be about 17, and he was. And I looked at him and I said, son, somebody's looking up to you. He's like kind of shuffled it off, you know. I said, no, I'm telling you, somebody's looking up to you. And just clear as a bell, the Lord said, ask that little boy on the far end. So I went to the far end. Little boy back there, he's about 10, 11 years old. I looked at him, I said, son, are you looking up to anybody? His little lip started quivering. Yeah, 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 yeah. I said, well, who are you looking up to? And he pointed to that first boy I went to. You said, him? I looked over, I said, did you know that? Well, no, I'm just a teenager. I'm telling you, young people, there's a generation to come. Somebody's coming behind you, and it'll continue to happen until we hear the trumpet.
Amen.
Amen. And so here it is. I go over there. I took the little boy by the hand, took him over there. I said, tell him what you just told me. He said, I look up to you. And he said, I'm going to shake a little bit and cry. I look up to you, and that teenage boy just, what do you mean? He said, well, man, when I get to be your age, I want to be just like you. He said, you're faithful. You're here every service. You're out there in the bus ministry. You're serving in all the ministries you can get into. You're always here. If the pastor needs something, you're there to help him. That's what I want to be when I get to be your age. Let me ask you, who's like that behind you?
Right.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. If you remain steadfast, somebody's going to get affected in a steadfast way.
Amen.
I look back at my tracks now, I got preacher boys all over the world. And I never dreamed. I mean, look where I come from. I'm only 45 minutes south of here where I was born and raised. Of course, a few years back, I said to my dad, when he's still living, I said, Dad, I'm having a hard time getting folks, even some of the family, to understand me. He said, son, that's because you ain't from here no more. Out the south, darn you. But man, I'm a hillbilly. I mean, just a little bit south of here. I mean, one ridge is here and one ridge is here. And if you're careful, you can step, put 1 foot here and 1 foot there, amen, and look down the valley. The sun don't come up till 10 o'clock in the morning. It takes that long to get over the hill, amen. Brother Dale grew up saying, I was hillbilly born, hillbilly bred, and when I die, I'll be hillbilly dead. I never dreamed, Brother David, I'd ever leave the mountains. I never dreamed I'd ever leave the north. But like Brother Bill Grady says, he's got a shirt that says, I'm not from the south, but I got here as soon as I could. God had a wonderful plan. God had me to join the United States Air Force. And oh man, that was a great thing. You know, I joined the Air Force. I made a whopping $365 a month. Try that, man. Back then, it was below poverty back then. But you know, I got my first orders. And my first orders said down there, Karat Air Base, Thailand. You know what that means, don't you? So I'm all set, boy. Well, I'm going off. I'm going to be launching F-4s. And some of them going to come back shot up. Well, God had other plans. The government rescinded those orders. And they sent me to Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, North Carolina. God kept me in the north, it's just Carolina, amen. Well, you know what I found out when I first got there? There's a Baptist church on every corner. In fact, some corners there were four Baptist churches. Now, I mean, throw a rock, you could spit from one to the other. Man, there were so many independent Baptists, we had our own softball league. And it's all independent Baptists. But I saw all that. And Brother Tim, I'm telling you, I hated North Carolina. I hated it. Why? Because you couldn't live the life I was living on Sunday. They still had blue laws back then. Amen? You couldn't buy the beer. You couldn't buy the liquor. You couldn't live the wildlife that I was living. You couldn't do it, man. They shut her down. Man, now I wouldn't have got every state in the union had them.
Right, yes, sir.
Amen. In fact, even better than that, just kick it all out. Amen. We don't need it. But I got saved, man. And you know God's got a sense of humor. Guess where he put me? Central Baptist Church. And it was there a man named Carl Gibbs taught me to be steadfast. Well, Carl Gibbs still alive. He's like 88 now, 89. He taught me to be steadfast. I thank him. I still call him. I say, preacher, I just want to thank you for putting the foundation under me. It's still there. It's weathered every storm. It's weathered every raindrop. It's weathered every wind. It's weathered every trouble in every valley, every dark night. Now, I'm telling you, preacher, the foundation's still there. It hadn't moved one inch. Thank you for putting a real foundation under me and teaching me to be steadfast. Now look here. Verse 7. That generation to come, they're going to rise. You want to declare them to those children. Why? That they might set their hope in God. You know what we're trying to do this week? We're trying to get you to set your hope in God.
Sir.
Amen. Get you out of you. Get you out of, amen, the humdrum of this life. And get you to thinking on another plane. And I ain't talking about one with wings. I'm talking about that spiritual plane. Get you to thinking, amen, about what's real. About what's going to last. Amen. About what's going to endure. About what's, amen, when you get to be old and gray-headed, what's still going to be around. Man, I'm telling you, I just found out yesterday, one of my cousins died last year. He was younger than me. That struck pretty hard. Man, when they start dropping at your age, I've had a lot of friends drop. They've all been older than me. By a couple years at least. You know, it makes you feel better older, right? But I'm telling you, even though they're dropping and they're my age, I can look around and see things that are still there, right where God put them. And God gave me the privilege of being there to start them, or gave me the privilege of being there to see God start it. Amen? And they're still there. Why? Because of one word, steadfast. That preacher taught me to be steadfast. Why? Because, why? There's somebody coming behind me that's going to need to set their hope in God. You know what it means to be set? You know, concrete. Y'all ever work, anybody work concrete?
Yep.
Okay, you pour that stuff in cement, right? When you pour it, it's cement, right? And it's wet, it's sloppy, and you can get it all over you, and you can have fun, and you'll fling a little here and there. Amen. But you float that stuff. I had a fellow here a couple weeks back, he just floated it and left it. I said, oh, no, you ain't done. Well, I ain't done, that'll be all right, just gonna be a little sidewalk. I said, yeah, in about 6 months, there's going to be a lot of pockmarks all over that thing. What do you mean there's going to be pockmarks? I said, because you didn't finish the job. It ain't set yet. It ain't right to be set yet. I got to have a trowel. I ain't got one. I said, we go get one. We went to the hardware, got one. I come back and troweled that thing. Now you know what I know? When that concrete's set, it's going to be set just like that. As long as it's set there. Why? Because it's been prepared right. It's been finished right. It's been worked right. Amen. In other words, you need to be just like that concrete. Set.
Amen.
Unchangeable. I have known Brother Williams for a long time. Nearly 40 years. And I'm thrilled to say that in 40 years, he has not changed one iota.
Amen. Thank the Lord for it.
He is still standing where he was the day I met him. His hair's a little whiter. So is mine. But he hasn't changed. You know, you get to thinking, I used to wonder, Brother Williams, when it got old, what was going to happen? Am I still going to be where I am? Am I still going to be preaching like I do? I mean, am I still? And really, it grieves me that I can't run faster. I can't shout louder. I mean, brother, I preached red in the face. I had a woman one time come to me and said, look, you need to stop that. I said, stop what? She said, preaching like you do. I said, why? She said, man, you get so red in the face, you're going to have an apoplexy. I said, lady, I couldn't even spell it, let alone have it.
It's good.
And man, you know, a few heart problems later, I've had to slow it down just a little bit. So that's why I am what I am today. But praise God, man, I'm still going. And I'm still preaching the same thing I've always preached. And I'm still preaching the same book I started with. Amen. And I'm settled in that thing. I'm set in that thing. Brother, that book is God's book.
Amen.
You can read all your funny ones all day long, amen. But that's you ain't going right. to get what you get out
exactly
of that one.
Right. Got that right.
That they might set their hope in God. Yes. And we're not talking about a hope so hope.
Well, I hope it's going to be okay.
I know it's going to be okay. I read the last chapter, we win.
That's right.
Amen. I know, amen, what? That's talking about a no so hope, amen. That's why it's called the blessed hope and not just the hope so hope.
Amen.
I ain't got a hope so hope. I know Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Amen. And I know when he comes, I'm going. Amen. I'm going to leave this world on a plane air ride. Amen. Ain't going to need no airplane. I'm going past all them. Set. Is your hope set in God this morning? Man, we've heard enough preaching. It ought to be headed that direction. Amen. And then he says this. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You won't be steadfast? You're going to have to get your heart right. Not the one that goes thumpity thump. That one that's down deep inside. That one that God's been trying to get a hold of all week. That one that if you'll let God, he'll speak to it.
Yes.
And he'll move you through it. He'll direct you through it. He'll guide you as you go in that book, as you sit in church. Amen. As you hear good preaching. As you strive to live for God and strive to be steadfast. Strive to be there. Amen. Man, I keep thinking of people going through my mind. I think of Brother Don Green. He's my hero. Has been since the day I met him. He was old when I met him. But steadfast. I mean preaching. I called him up not long ago. You know what he did? Preached to me. All you got to do is prime the pump a little bit. He starts rolling. Still got it, man. Still at it. Steadfast. Now take your Bible and go back to Leviticus chapter 26. The key to the thing is getting the heart right.
Amen.
If the heart's right, the rest will follow.
Right. That's it.
Deuteronomy 26. I'm sorry, did I say Deuteronomy? Leviticus. Leviticus 26. And I'm going to hurry through this, but there's a lot in this chapter. Verse 1, ye shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear up to you a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord your God. Now look at this. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now there's the man that's right with God.
That's right.
He's walking with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. There's the man that is agreed with God. That amen. Without God he's nothing. And that he's nothing but a sinner. Amen. That gets saved by the grace of God if he's saved. Amen. He's doing his best to humbly, as one of the prophets said, I forget which one, walk humbly with God. Amen. So he's right with God. Now look at verse 4. Then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield or increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're doing right. You go all through that Old Testament, you'll find out when they did right, God blessed. Amen. Their fields produced. Their houses were safe. Amen. And God took care of them. It's when they didn't do right, they got in trouble.
That's right.
They got turned over to all the ites. Amen. And the termites got them. No, I'm kidding. Listen, he told them, I'll give you peace. Verse 6, in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. None shall be afraid. If he said none shall be afraid, where's fear come from? It says over there, amen, the New Testament says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How come so many Baptists are taking antidepressants and one of them other things? You know, make them feel good.
That's right.
You know? Baptist preachers.
Oh. Yes, sir, preacher.
I can't tell you about how many preachers I've run into that
yes,
run that
stuff.
Yes, psychotropic drugs, as you put it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Why? You say to give peace. Peace is the absence of all that stuff.
Sure
thing. Man, when you got peace, you don't need nothing else. When you got peace, there's no turmoil in the soul. You in turmoil? Isaiah 32:17, I know y'all know it. That man here's quoted it so much I learned it from him quoting it. And the work of righteousness shall be what?
Peace.
And the effect. In other words, it's going to affect you if you do right.
That's right.
And the effect of righteousness, what? Quietness. Now that doesn't mean shh. Lord, is in his holy temple looking down upon the sons of men all day.
No, sorry.
But don't mean that. Quietness in your soul.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That's it.
Quietness
thank
in
you,
your soul. No unrest.
Yes, thank you for that, Lord.
In fact, you'll be so at peace when you start talking. Somebody's going to say, you're just cocky. No, you've missed it, Ron. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not trying to come off as cocky.
Right. Please be still.
I am sure. Because
yes,
the next part
you,
of it is an assurance forever. Man, when you're sure of what you got, you want to tell everybody about it. And you just got so much of it in you, you can't help but get exuberant. You can't help but get excited, man. It's the best thing going.
Yes.
Amen.
Man, you do right by God. You get right with God. And God begins to work in you. And God begins to work through you. And man, before you know it, you look around and go, wow, where'd all this come from, God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen?
Yes, sir.
The man right with God. Now look what happens. Verse 7, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Man, what do you got to be afraid of? You're going to be chasing them. Are you chasing anybody away? I'll never forget when I first got saved, man. I mean, it was the greatest thing since ever. I'd come in a room, man, people that knew me would leave. I didn't have to say a word. I'd walk in, they'd walk out. Why? Because they didn't want to get witnessed to. They didn't want to hear about God. They didn't want... And somebody asked me, they said, Cliff, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I think the Bible says... No, there you go. Always saying the Bible says. I said, what else is there?
That's right.
You want to know what I think? Listen, if you took what I think, made it dynamite, put it in a thimble, there wouldn't be enough in there to blow your nose. But man, I'll tell you, when I get in that thing and start saying what God thinks about it, things change.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I think God's right. Amen. I'm wrong. Amen. He's got it right. And man, watch it. Watch when them enemies start fleeing. I hope. I ain't got time to tell you all stories. Then he said, and five of you should chase 100. You ever chased 100? And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. You know why would anybody in here be walking right? Because God did it.
That's it.
There's nothing in us that's any good. Oh, he's such a good fella. No, he's a dirty, rotten sinner.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Man, without God, he'd be out there drooling in a bar room somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Praise God, man. God did it.
Yes, sir.
And what happened? God began to bless. Why? He stayed right with God. He stayed steadfast. He did. You know what it is? He just did what God told him to do.
Amen.
That's all it is. But look at this. Verse 14, we start finding the backslider. But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. What's coming into our country? Terrorist. Bringing terror. Huh. We got off the foundation, folks, as a nation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Sure did.
Terror and consumption and the burning agony that shall come consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. That ague, whatever it is, shivering fit from fever. You ever seen anybody get such a high fever that he's shook? Why is it so cold in here? Well, they got a fever. And cause sorrow of heart. Ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies, that they that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins, and make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. What did it say over there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15? That steadfast is what? Their labor is not in vain. The Lord. But when's it become in vain? When they're not steadfast.
Right.
When are they not steadfast? When their heart is not right with God.
Amen.
All week long, man, it's been to the heart. Amen. I hadn't heard, if they have, I wasn't paying attention. I ain't heard anybody preach on things.
Right.
It's all been aimed right there. Aim at that heart. Why? You get the heart right, all the rest of this stuff, it'll come out right. God will get in that thing and you'll be amazed at what God does. So you got 10 verses there or so, from 3 to 13, where the man's right with God and he's enjoying the blessings of God. And then you got about 10 more verses there from 14 to 22 or 23, where the backslider's in there and God's all over that guy. God's beating him from pillar to post. Man, if you're getting beat from pillar to post and that's all you ever see, may I suggest something to you? Get right with God! If you're saved, man, get right with God! If you're lost, get right with God, man! If all you ever get is beat from pillar to post, something ain't right.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Something ain't right. Where's the steadfastness? Get right with God. Get that heart straightened out and get it right with God. Amen. Where you can walk in steadfastness. And what it is really is God walking in you.
Amen.
God walking through you and working through
yes,
you.
Helps.
Amen. Amen. I love to see it when God's people get blessed, man.
Yeah.
That tells me a lot, man. It tells me God is still good.
Amen.
And that tells me, amen, that, hey, listen, not only is God good, but they're doing something right with God. I'm going to tell you, I drive by here, I'll never forget, I'm just going to use the preacher because he's sitting back here. I come pulling in one day, And there's a gold Cadillac sitting out there.
Big Daddy.
Man, I'm telling you. There's guys who drool over that car.
Yeah, man.
Then I come by one day, Brother Tim, and I looked over there, and there sat that house, man, all that siding on there. That house looked beautiful. And you look at Black Creek Baptist Church, just a little old church.
Yeah, how about that?
But you know what? You got a big old God.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
And all you got to do is write. I pulled up with that trailer. It's 44 feet long. And I call it the beast. It's huge. I mean, it takes up the whole parking lot just about. I come pulling with that, and I've had so many comments.
Oh, wow, man, I wish I could be a rich evangelist.
Like I told a fellow one time, I said, look, I went to Africa, man. When I went to New Guinea, they met me like this. When I went to Africa, they met me like this. Finally, I'd had all, it just grieved me. I got a hold of Haggai 1:8, man. I began to preach on what's the reason ye dwell in sealed houses and the house of God lie in waste. You know, churches were shambles, but they lived in nice houses. And I said, you know what it is? The problem is, amen, you think God sent you a rich American. Boy, did God fool you. But I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at an American that ain't rich. But I serve a God that owns it all.
Yes, sir.
And if you'll let me, I can take that Bible and show you how to get the riches of God and put them out into the work of God. And the problem is, when God gives it to you, you want to do this. You want to stuff all the pockets.
That's right. You need to share.
Like Brother Roloff said, I ain't got much bank account. But you wait till the rapture and watch my stocks go up. Amen. Like Brother Jack Wood said, man, preacher asked him, how you get all this money? Somebody gave him $10,000 on more than one occasion. Here, the preacher put this in the work of God. He's getting on a plane to go somewhere. I watched him, Brother Donnie, time and time and time again, put thousands of dollars in the offering plate. And he had that big old wad. He carried it in here with rubber bands on. He'd have 5,000 in his pocket, 5,000 in his pocket, 5,000 in that pocket. He might have it down in his boot, you know. One time he pulled two wads out like that in front of me and another missionary, and that other missionary went. This preacher asked me, how do you get all that money? How in the world? Man, people always hand me not one, not ten, but I mean thousands of dollars. How's that happen? He's looked at it, never beat an eye. I said, Brother Mike, God knows when he puts that money in that hand, Jack Wood ain't got sticky fingers. If it goes in that pocket, it's to come back out and be put in the work of God.
That's right. Channels open. Amen.
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 Get that heart right. That steadfastness will come back. And if you ain't never been steadfast, it'll help you build it. Why? Because you'll begin to see God do things in your life you never dreamed.
Amen.
You'll find yourself in places you never dreamed.
That's right.
I mean, who'd have thunk it, man? A hillbilly in Africa. A hillbilly in New Guinea. Man, I hit the ground in New Guinea, and right off the bat, man, I hit the tarmac. And I looked out, and there was nobody there to meet me. John Gray was supposed to, but had his eye cut, and he's back in the States. Nobody there to meet me. And it hit me, Brother Dale. I don't speak their language. I was told, man, it's the right way. Learn it from the people, and I did. All the nose infections, the eye twitches, everything. But I got there, and I looked down, and there's none of them. I don't speak their language. Any of y'all ever read Peace Child? I had read that.
Yeah.
And the next thought out of my mind was, they eat people here. And I don't speak their language. Man, I'm telling you what, I learned real fast, you better know God.
Right.
And you better make sure you're in the will of God.
Amen.
Because if you ain't, you just might be supper. Amen. Just what? Steadfastness. You begin to see God put you in places where you never dreamed you'd ever be. You begin to see God do things in your life you never dreamed would ever be done. What is it right now that's holding you back? What is it?
Down in verse 36, it says this: "And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts." This after he wipes out a bunch of them. "Send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. They shall fall when none pursueth." Ain't nobody chasing them, but they're falling, dropping like flies.
Amen.
Then what happens? Look at verse 40. "If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, and that also I have walked contrary to them." Man, I'm telling you, you start walking contrary to God, you better be ready, because God's going to repay it in kind. When you got God contrary to you, you ain't in a good shape. But what? "If they confess their iniquity, that also I have walked contrary to them, have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths. And while she lieth desolate without them, they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes, judgments, and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses." There's one thing. One thing that'll keep a man from getting right with God. I'll ask you a couple questions and I'll be done. Are you steadfast?
No.
Can you be counted on? By God. To do whatever he says do. To go wherever he says go.
That's right.
To say whatever he says say.
Right.
Amen. Can you be counted on that way? Are you steadfast? If not, why not?
That's right. That's right.
The reason, according to Scripture, is your heart's not right. What is it that would keep you or any man from getting right with God? Look back at verse 19. "And I will break the" what?
Pride
"of your power." You're holding on to it for you. You're holding on to it for this life. Maybe it's because you're afraid of what somebody might think about you. Have you ever seen that wild man, Don Hart? Go ahead and call him a wild man. You'll offend him. Have you ever seen John Asquith? He's the most unorthodox. Praise God.
Amen.
Somebody ought to be. Have you ever seen? And then put your name in there. Oh, I'm afraid they might say something. Man, I am sick to death. Man, this internet has ruined us. And this crazy, hello! And this cell phone has ruined us. People so worried. Things have come up on that internet. Oh, he bullied me. If you can be bullied by a telephone, that's something else.
Right,
you need to man up. Or lady up. Girl up. I see these pickup trucks. You know, cowgirl, man. It's a girl driving. You need to girl up, man. You need to get a little bit stronger. You need to get a hold of God. Get your heart right with God so you got no fear.
Amen.
Of what man can say unto you or call you. He bullied me. I've been cyber bullied. I don't know what cyber is, let alone bullied. My father taught me how to deal with a bully, and it works. Every time. Amen. What do you do? If he's bigger than you, you get an equalizer. Amen. Had one time. I mean, he knocked me silly right here. Caught me, sucker punched me. Tapped me on the shoulder before I could see who it was. He hit me right there and knocked me down.
He was much bigger than me. I'm laying down on the ground. And I kind of went blank for a minute until he hit the ground and I came to. And I'm looking up. Come on, get up. I'm thinking, sucker, I'm going to give you the same advantage you gave me. I looked up at him and I said, I ain't going to fight you in school. What do I look like, stupid? He turned his back, Brother Donnie, and that was his mistake. Yeah. I gave him the same advantage. I got up, walked up his back, and gave him a foot to the back of the head. And I told him, I said, when he wakes up, tell him I don't take bullies. And walked away. I wasn't saved, but I'd do it today. Amen. Why? Bully. Amen. Shut him up. People afraid of what somebody going to say from a point 2,000 miles from here. I mean, they can't even get to you, man. You know why folks get afraid? Ain't right with them. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That steadfastness is not there. It's not there because the heart's not right. And the heart's not right because of one thing. Pride. Amen.
Amen.
You steadfast?
I like it, brother. Good word. I like it.
Father, thank you for the privilege. Please speak to hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll need to record this, and I don't want to take over the time.